All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and everybody's present and accounted for, so hopefully we can say the same thing about you as you go on with your business day and whatever you need to do, but take us along for the ride for the next 3 hours. Fellas, what is going on?
What's up?
What it do?
All good in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
promises
is
kept as you have fulfilled everybody's dreams. And Jugs is going to be on the show today. That's always a good thing.
3 o'clock hour. Do not go anywhere. Be back in the 3 o'clock hour. It's in production right now, but we've got Trey reenacting the R. Kelly interview. Just a chunk of it. Not the whole thing. That would be too long. But, yeah, Jugs has said he would do it. We got him to come in. He was nice enough to come in, I should say. We didn't get him to. He volunteered to drive in on his day off to record this with us. I'm looking forward to it. I was in there. I got to be the director for this. It was amazing. Nick was like, why aren't we recording this on video? This is amazing. Go get you. I was like, it's too late, bro. But he nailed it in one take. So it was just, it's really good, and it's going to be fun. So 3 o'clock hour.
Thing that people don't realize is, because, you know, we do like to give him a hard time.
Of course.
But the minute that this was planted, the seed was planted with him, he told me that he rehearsed all last night.
That's great.
That he worked on it. And as you said, and it shows, which is all you can ask for.
Yeah. He nailed it. What's going to be really fun is if Michael has a chance to put in some of the stuff that wasn't in the script. We'll see. I don't know. Now, I will also, we've decided, since we have a lot of new listeners over the last year or so that have joined because we've gotten so wildly popular. I mean, we may not be the highest rated show in the city, but we are the most popular.
I don't
have any data to back that up. I'm just saying that.
You have confidence, though.
Well, that's all you need.
Confidence is everything.
That's all you need. But because we know we have new listeners that weren't around when we did Monday Movie Moments with Trey, we're going to be bringing that a little bit back today. Not every clip, but in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll be running some Monday Movie Moments clips from years gone by. So stick around for that. 3 o'clock hour is going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So plenty of good stuff to look forward to in the next 3 hours with us on The Usual Suspects, and plenty of stuff to talk about as well. Nicholas, anything eventful happened in the last 24 hours that we should be aware of?
No, not really. I just stayed at home, did nothing, didn't really partake in anything too crazy.
I noticed that you're going all in on U of H today.
Oh,
with
I'm going
the hat,
to the game.
The shirt.
I'm going to the game.
Oh,
now are you going as media or as
a
fanboy?
As a fan.
Oh, you're going as a fan. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sitting in the hoity-toity seats or the student section? Or
well, I got the hookup from Kirsten Spike. You know, she's employed there. She used to be a part of the sales and promotions team here.
Right.
So I'm not sure exactly where, but it's going to be my first time watching a game.
Okay.
In the Fertitta Center, so
nice.
That's awesome. She's big time, so I'm sure you're going to have good seats.
I think we're going to have good seats.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Get to go back to your alma mater.
Do they sell alcohol
there? How you say that word.
I do not know. I might have to sneak something in.
Oh,
say,
my God. Yeah. Do not do that and get her in trouble.
Yeah, that wouldn't be
Do
that.
Not do that.
For once, don't be that guy. Is that
what
you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
But that's kind of the point of like a flask. It's really inconspicuous.
No,
like,
God,
you can't,
no.
You can hide it. No
you know
one...
what? There are a few different ways that you know you have a drinking problem. One of them is if you can't remember what you did the night before. Another one is if you destroy all the relationships in your life in favor of alcohol. And the third way you know is if you own a flask and use it. No, do not. Please, God, no.
What about
tell
the
me you don't
carry-on.
Have a flask.
And
those
the
little carry-ons
is,
that you can
no.
buy?
If you can identify a Wizenator and or call someone out for using it.
No, no sample sizes. No flask. No nothing.
Just
go in
quick
there.
Ones.
Just go in there like an adult that doesn't need a drink and just enjoy yourself.
Why can't I bring in some alcohol?
Oh, my God.
Don't act like you've never done something like that before.
I mean, yeah, I've snuck alcohol in places before, but not...
They make all kinds of, like...
Not when my friend got secret me. It was on one of those cruise ships.
Back in Wisconsin, when we were going to... When my dad would take me to Packer games, uh-huh. they would have literally... My dad had one, and our neighbors had one. The big binoculars...
And they had a, oh,
only
yeah.
The big binoculars weren't binoculars. It was just, they were just, you just put open one of the lenses.
Adult juice.
And you just filled it all up with booze. And yeah. You walked in, and it was fantastic.
Genius.
Yeah.
Just adult juice.
You know, yep. Ben Affleck and Matt Damon snuck in alcohol to like a baseball game. Even millionaires like that have done it. Why? Because it's convenient.
Wait. But they were
can pay a fine.
Absolutely. They even have pictures of it.
They could
so
also.
Before or after they were rich?
Way after they were rich.
Really?
And famous. Yeah.
Well, that means they can also afford to pay the fine and any bad publicity that comes with
it. Well,
you
come through.
Don't want to get your friend fired. You don't want to get your friend fired. That's why you're not going to do it.
I'm not.
Okay.
Not
gonna do it. I have good news, fellas.
More?
Yes.
You blew past me
and got right to him.
Well,
you didn't let me give my news.
We got to the important stuff.
My news is the most important news.
Okay.
The lawnmower is in the garage. I repeat, the lawnmower is in the garage.
And this isn't code for you and Nora having sex. This is the fact that the lawnmower is not stuck anymore.
That's correct. This is not code for me and Nora had sex last night. This is actually, I got the lawnmower out
that's
of the
awesome.
Yard thanks to a neighbor. His name's Heston. That's his first name. And Heston has he called it a side-by-side. I have no idea what the hell a side-by-side is. It's just like it looks like a cross between a four-wheeler and a go-kart. But he brought that thing over. He had a winch. The winch didn't work, but he had a chain. We pulled that bad boy out. I had to push it a little bit from the front side, but it's out. And 11 days later, 11
wow.
days.
How deep was it?
It was halfway. The front tire was halfway submerged.
Wow. Because I saw on Facebook that you said it was sinking.
Yeah.
I kind of hope it
sunk
completely
down.
You
were over
quick
shut
up out about
there.
Your dumbass long hair.
Shut your mouth. Shut your whore mouth.
I love the fact that we could use that. Instead of Lance saying he had nachos, you could just say the lawnmower's in the garage. The lawnmower was in the garage last night.
The lawnmower was in the garage last night.
You know, when I was working for the Toyota Center, they used codes like that because they had the walkie-talkies.
Right.
So I know that they had one when Elton John, when his limo would come into the building. And they were like, and some of them you can't say over, but they had some pretty creative names to say, you know, like.
Really?
Yeah. Like Prince Charles is in the building or whatever they would say for, you know, they'd make up and that they'd have a meeting and that would be the word. And
nice.
They did it for all the performers. It was pretty
nice.
Cool.
Well, yeah, it's out and I hurt my back.
Oh, no. So the hernia is
hold
better.
Hold on. Yeah, so the hernia is not a thing right now. It's not hurting. So I don't know that it necessarily went away. It's just not hurting anymore. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. It's not hurting. And my guts aren't going to fall out. I'm good. But I didn't hurt my back getting a lawnmower unstuck. No. I hurt my back getting out of the shower, drying off my hair.
What hair?
Well, I mean, it's still
wet.
You
just gotta rub it down with a towel for like 2 seconds, you're done.
And that's when I got hurt.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I was like, my wife just goes, Jesus,
you're
really?
You're just brittle.
Yeah, she goes, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, maybe it was just a spasm that you had from moving the lawnmower. I was like, no, I was fine after the lawnmower. I was just, you know, I had the towel up there drying the head and just back and then went, oh. And so, yeah. So this is the same exact pain. In the same exact spot from when I was putting my drink on the top of the car.
So you got like ibuprofen, painkillers? What are you doing?
I took a muscle relaxer last night.
Did you?
Yeah. And a sleeping pill. I slept really good. It was a nice night.
I just, you know, when we did, they have all these articles about crazy sports injuries that happened at the house and other things. But how does anybody top that? One, getting a drink off the top of your car.
Setting it up there.
And two, setting it up there. And two, drying your hair when you get out of the shower.
I don't know what to say, man. I'm not proud of it. I'll tell you that. I don't have good stories about, you know, getting hurt. Fighting
old
off.
As dirt, sir.
I didn't fight a bear in the backyard or anything. No, I didn't lift a 600-pound lawnmower. That was a good hernia story.
I didn't either in the backyard.
No? What does that mean?
No, but I fought a bear.
Oh.
Just to give you guys ammunition.
Oh.
There you go.
I just got it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
So it was an eventful night at Casa de Laminac.
And then the depressing news that Alex Trebek has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's awful. And the fact that he's got such a sense of humor about it, because from having conversations with Lisa's and others, this is the prognosis for stage 4 is not good. But yet he did the video that he put out while on the set of Jeopardy and joked, well, I got to beat this thing because I just signed a new contract and I got at least three more years on it or something like that. And he looked good and he sounded good. But man, Jeopardy was such a staple for so many people in their lives. It's just, it's really having a hard, people having a hard time with
it. It sucks, man. It sucks. You don't want to, you know, that's not, you don't wish cancer on anybody.
No.
But when you see a guy that you grew up with, basically, I mean, we all grew up with Alex Trebek. We all watched him for how many years? So yeah, not a cool thing. Real quick on the text line, somebody just said, that's as cheerful as I've ever heard Nick. LOL. So there's that. And then somebody asked me, they said, is Heston's last name? And then they put it there and said, if so, that's my boy. Yeah, whoever texted Heston's last name, that's who it was. So yes, your boy helped me out yesterday.
Not Charlton?
Not Charlton Heston. Okay. Heston's his first name. That's all right. That's also why I specified that, because I know you would be.
Yeah, that's my thing. You set the table, I'll sit down and eat.
Somebody said Barry probably hurt his back doing something else, not drying his hair. No, it was totally drying my hair. I wouldn't come in and be like, hey, I was having sex last night and threw my back out. I wouldn't do that. That's crass.
That would be funny.
That's crass. I wouldn't do that. I'm a wholesome, clean radio guy.
You would do that.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. So as we're just getting started, hey, HR&P Listener Line, that's how you can reach out the best. As obviously people are already doing that. 713-780-3776, where you can hit us up via text, or you can also call the show. And of course, we are available via Twitter pretty much 24/7. That's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. Again, it is going to be one hell of a Thursday on the Usual Suspects, Juggalo Trey in the 3 o'clock hour, and a whole lot more. Just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. Just getting started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. Don't forget, tomorrow is an Friday, and this friendly reminder to my partner, that means you have to come up with a comedian of the week.
That's right. I don't have one yet, so I gotta.
That's not shocking. The way Nick handles his list on Wednesdays, you handle the comedians on Fridays. Maybe a little better on your part.
Or normally, maybe I'm just not a cheater.
A teeter?
I was going to say teacher, but no, I'm not a cheater.
Normally, Barry is up about the same time I am, so when I start the doc and I just put at the top, F yeah Friday comedian question mark, Barry's like, oh, and he's on it.
It's my reminder. Time to get it.
We wait for a topic for days on end on Way Back Wednesday, and you still get yours done right before hour number 3.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
Damnedest thing. Somebody said on the text line, wait now, I don't get it anymore. Someone called Pac-Man Joel a 70-year-old yesterday, but Barry's the one that has a 70-year-old body. Who's the real 70-year-old on the show? Okay. Fair enough.
Neither of us. How about that?
Hey, Barry, you're a wimp. LOL. Okay.
Well, the love is flowing.
Yeah.
So, Barry, this would have been 3 straight days of good moods to start a show. You guys are doing a hell of a job trying to get him out of it. Nick and I would appreciate it. Let it go for a little while longer.
That's my favorite, is I share these stories, and then people think that they're cracking on me. It's like, you know, if I didn't want you to know, I just wouldn't have shared.
Right.
But, okay. I'm a wimp. I kind of admit that.
And a bully.
How am I a bully? Berates
me in between breaks and segments.
Oh, my God.
Cursing at me.
Are you
kidding
me?
Extremely vulgar.
Where's your proof?
There will be.
Oh, will there be?
Yeah.
You have it now?
I will document. No, I don't. Oh, I will.
Okay. Well, if you don't have it now, then I don't want to hear about it.
I'm going to have that seat in 2 weeks.
Shut your mouth.
Huh? In 2 weeks.
You're going to have this seat in 2 weeks? Well, there goes your ratings, Joel.
Actually, according to AJ, you could probably have that seat sooner because he hates the blue chair. That doesn't mean Barry can't slide another chair in here.
Yeah. That is true. That whole blue chair thing drives me nuts, but whatever.
But you're the only one that uses it, aren't you?
No, Charlie uses it too.
Well, it's got a booster.
It raises up higher. That is for sure.
I'm not using that one today.
What?
I'm doing my Charlie with the chairs.
Yeah.
All right, so we can kick it into gear here. I really, again, I don't understand why the more the Lakers suck, the more there are stories that the national media is going crazy with. They got hammered again last night.
How?
Hammered them. The Nuggets came in, hammered them. They did 33 points and they couldn't come back. You know what? The big story was LeBron James surpassed Michael Jordan.
That's the big story.
Fourth all time on the NBA scoring list. Congratulations.
But you get that, right? I mean, you just passed the GOAT. You just passed one GOAT past the other GOAT. I mean, I guess you can't have two GOATs. Can you have two GOATs?
Evidently, we do. According to who you ask, it changes from even KD talking with Dwayne Wade saying we should have GOATs per decade.
You know what? I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm not
because
lie.
then you don't lose sight of Will and Bill Russell
right.
But at the same time, this is a debate that won't go anywhere. That normally when sports slows down, people bring it back up, along with Mount Rushmores. This whole back and forth, I get it. LeBron was jacked about it, and you know, at some time, I'm sorry, but sometimes I question like how emotional. Is he really? But he was already tweeting about how big this was going to be. And really what he was referring to was breaking MJ's, you know, surpassing MJ scoring-wise. I don't think it was the game because obviously the team crapped the bed again.
Right.
But you look at it, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but Michael played baseball for 2 years in his prime. So if he would have played those 2 years, his totals would have been a little bit more.
You think?
Yeah, you think if he played 2 years, he'd go scoreless?
What did Michael average? No, I'm saying I was being sarcastic, yeah. You think. What did he average for his career? 30 points a game, Jordan did?
I don't think for his career, because remember, you brought up the Washington years. The Washington years, it did come down.
No, it is.
Really?
I'm on the NBA website. 30 points a game was his average.
So you're looking at almost 5,000 points if he played two more years.
Yeah, what's 82 times 30?
So I'm saying about 2,400.
2,400 and then double that. Yeah, so another 5,000, and he's what, at 32? So that puts him at 37?
He would have been close to the greatest of all time.
He would have been second on the list.
To Kareem, right?
Right. So where do you think LeBron ends on
this list?
I
still think LeBron will surpass everybody because, again, unlike those guys, he came out early. He went directly from high school.
He basically has to average 2,000 a year for the next 3 years. 2,000 points a year, which is doable. That's
completely
like 25
doable.
A game or something like that.
I totally believe that regardless, that's why I'm not trying to be get off my lawn guy because he still will be, when all is said and done, the greatest scorer in most statistics and also one of the greatest in all statistical categories. He'll probably be at the top or close to it. He'll be like Peyton Manning when he retired.
Right.
So I'm not trying to take anything like that away from him.
His career average is 27. If he continues that for the next 3 years, and 3 years after this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he will surpass Kareem. You think he can maintain 27
Absolutely.
Points a game for the next 3 years and the rest of this year?
And I also think he's playing more than 3 years. You know, his goal was to play
right.
play with Bronny. So
but
he's
his
play.
Average is going to go down.
Sure, it will,
I mean he's going to get older and he's going to slow down a little bit.
But think about that. So his average goes down. But by the time it starts going down, he's already close enough that he could probably average about 4 points a game, and he'd still get it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he'll get it.
As long as he played, yeah.
So, but that was the big deal. But the crying on the bench, at the end of the bench, was he crying or not? He just put the towel over his face, but yet the speech and everything
reflecting
afterwards.
And
if you listen to this, and we have the audio of him talking about it, obviously, just like most kids growing up, they idolized Michael, but he had the ability to back it up. To where he wore 23, obviously for Michael and for a lot of different reasons, he idolized Michael. So this was his soundbite after the game.
It's just, you guys have no idea, man. And I'm trying to give it to you guys, but you guys have no idea what MJ did for me and my friends growing up. Just in a sense of, some days where you just don't even feel like you're gonna make it to the next day where I grew up, because of everything that's going on. So. Like I wrote on my shoes tonight, like you saw, I thank MJ more than he would, more than he'd ever known, and I gotta carry it on to the next kid. Hopefully, I can inspire the next kid, like myself.
So I like that. I like that part of it, in the fact that he's trying to motivate the next generation as well. And a lot of that soundbite earlier in it was, he wore 23 because of MJ. He wore his shoes the way he did because of MJ. You know, and as much as the Fab Five started a different generation with black socks and baggy shorts, Michael was the first guy. Because you remember, the NBA had to put in a clause in the Players Association that said your shorts have to be an inch above your knee, because everybody took it to the next level from MJ wearing the baggy shorts as opposed to Stockton and Bird and McHale getting the Grape Smashers. So, I mean, Michael is the end-all, be-all to so many people, and obviously he set a high standard for LeBron, and LeBron's going to surpass most of it.
Yeah, I get the whole, you know, you were saying you weren't buying the crying at the end of the bench or whatever. I do get that, though. I mean, when you think about it, there are pictures of him meeting MJ for the first time, and he talked about growing up and all his friends and what MJ meant to them as an opportunity, and seeing how you could, what you could achieve. So I get it. I mean, you just passed your idol on one of the most, you know, revered lists in NBA statistics in history. So I understand it. I mean, that would be, you know, it would be the equivalent of I don't know who your idol is, but you know, if you were considered now to be as good or better than your idol, that would mean something. And you had the statistics to prove it. I could see that. I could totally see that. I think it was genuine.
Okay. I mean, and we can agree to disagree. I just think a lot of it was staged because of the fact that, to me, the way he was tweeting about it and everything like that. And obviously, to me, it also sent the message that he feels like the rest of the world, the Lakers, are done. Because right from the get-go, I think his goal was to get it done as soon as possible and get to the 13 points. But I was also thinking about it, interestingly enough, how Michael thought about it. Because Michael's so hyper-competitive.
Right.
That
kind of like when Calvin got passed by.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
I think it's the same feeling. I think if James, he's asked about it, if he's asked about it, he'll be positive.
Or when Murph, they were going to break the free throw streak record, and he stood behind the basket and tried to distract Michael Williams, the free throw shooter, so that he didn't break his record.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just think that Michael takes a lot of this personally. Nick, you had the soundbite. We talked about it when Michael did the press conference during the All-Star game, and they were talking about, what do you think about James Harden's streak? What do you think about Russell Westbrook's streak? And his answer was, what do you think about six championships? Because
ego.
His ego and his
huge ego.
His competitive level, which we've all said is higher than anybody we've ever seen. That's not going away just because he's not playing anymore. This stuff gets under his skin after a while.
Yeah.
I think everybody just assumes that, oh, he's in his 50s or late 40s. He's not going to really have any competitive spirit in him. But no, they care. They
but a guy like that care. Never loses it.
No.
Honestly.
And I've told you guys, I've been lucky enough a couple times to play golf with him and didn't have to put up the money that others were. But the fact that on the golf course, he's the same way. And I found this story that kind of highlighted for what Nick was talking about. Yeah. But I'll get you after the break. We'll get to it after the break. But it'll show you just how Michael's competitive spirit hasn't gone away. It maybe has only increased or stayed exactly where it was.
Nice. I can't wait for that. Hey, also what I can't wait for is you guys to get on this Get Upside app. If you haven't downloaded this app yet, you've heard me talking about it now for a couple of weeks. And if you haven't downloaded Get Upside, you are literally leaving money at the gas pump. You are literally leaving money at the lunch table when you eat out, because GetUpside gets you cash back on those things and more. Like why would you pass up, if someone offered you free money while you're pumping gas, you'd put that in your pocket and keep it moving. That's what I want you to do. So download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, because when you use promo code Barry, it's going to give you extra savings on your first fill up through the GetUpside app. And let me tell you, these gas stations, these restaurants that are in the app, they want your business. That's why they're there. And that's why they're offering you these cash back deals. It's like free money, but you can only get it through the GetUpside app. So download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, start getting up to 25 cents a gallon cash back at over 500 gas stations around the city. 25 cents a gallon, that's a lot. You can get up to 35% cash back when you eat out at like Cyclone and Aya's if you want some Mexican food today, or if you want to go grab Wendy's real quick or Popeye's. You can get up to 35% cash back. Even if you're just getting 25, I've seen like Burger King has 25% cash back. If you ate there five times, that's a free meal. I mean, four times is a free meal. They have 20% cash back, five times free meal. Guys, There's no reason for you not to download this. It's completely free, easy to set up. And if you put in promo code Barry when you do it, you're going to get a bigger discount on your first fill up through the Get Upside app. So check it out. It's in all the app stores, completely free to download. It's called Get Upside. Do yourself a favor. Put in promo code Barry. Get that extra savings and thank me later. And hey, also thank me because we'll be back in 2 minutes. So don't go anywhere.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, just a half hour into the three-hour show, so you're not behind. You are right on time. And if you missed anything, as we always tell you, ESPN 97.5.com. Click on the show tab, and you can catch up on what you missed in each and every hour. I was talking to you guys about this before the break. Mm-hmm. Michael is still as competitive as ever. And this was a great story that they had on Bro Bible. So Morgan Hoffman used to be the number one amateur golfer in the world. He's on the PGA Tour, and he's battling some health issues, but he's played with Michael several times. So they did a podcast with him, and he basically says, because we all know Michael's a notorious gambler, he said, he's been easy money for me. I've never lost against him. He gets 10 shots from us, but coming down the stretch, he has shots on two of the last three holes. So if you're not winning by then, you're kind of guaranteed to either tie or lose because he's so clutch. I'll never forget, we were playing one match, and I was one up going into the 18th hole, and he had like a 30-footer to tie me. And I'm like, dude, you're not making this. Come on. And he looks me in the eye and goes, MF-er, I'm the greatest clutch athlete of all time. Watch this crap.
Uh-huh.
And drains it and just stares at me and points the entire way.
That's badass right there. That's how you know you're dealing with a dude that is clutch.
Oh, I mean,
that's amazing.
I can tell you this, Brooke. We were playing one day. We were nine of us were playing a game they call it's a team game, and as part of it, you can throw the hammer at any time to the other team. That means double the bet. Mm-hmm. And so Michael's already out there making people that make a ton of money squirm throwing the hammer. But he went up to a putt of probably 10 feet, and right in front of everybody, he made sure he looked at everybody in the group as he was putting. And he looked at all of his teammates, and he went down, closed his eyes so we could all see he closed his eyes, and hit the putt.
Wow.
And everybody's standing around. He goes, you guys crazy? He goes, see these guys right here? He goes, I carried Luke Longley and Bill Cartwright for all those rings. You don't think I can carry these guys right here's asses by shutting my eyes and making a putt? I did it with free throws and still got them rings.
So now, I'm curious. When he's like this, does it come across as him having fun and being funny, or is he just an a-hole? He's just being a jerk.
I think it's a little of both.
Ooh, that would get on my nerves. I wouldn't hang out with him.
Because of the fact that, one, we all know he comes in with an aura about him that
you kind of accept.
You have to accept.
I couldn't hang out with a dude like that. I don't care if it is Michael Jordan. Because there's one thing to have fun, right? Like, there's one thing to have fun with it. But if you got a guy who's just being a dick because he thinks he's the greatest at everything ever, I couldn't hang out with that dude. Even if it was Jordan, I just would be like, I don't want to be around this guy.
It was interesting because, again, Nick's right. He's got an aura about him, and you have to respect what he's done. So there's a section of the people that he encounters that already are ready to get on their knees and bow down and just treat him like royalty. And then there's a section of guys that just go, hey, we all put our pants on the same way.
Uh-huh.
But few and far between, there's still most people will still give him the respect of going, dude,
it's whatever you say. Yes, Michael. Yes, yeah. Michael. Oh, yeah, you are the greatest. Oh, you're the best. See, I couldn't do that.
Because
there's
he's so talented.
There's no way I could do that.
Because he's so talented, he probably has this, like Joel's saying, this natural. Or I'm sure J.J. Watt could probably get away with a little bit of cockiness as well, right? Because he's just so amazingly talented at what he does, and he's so popular here in Houston.
I'm just not kissing anybody's ass like that.
I'm not at all.
I'm not going to say anything to Michael Jordan for being cocky. I'm not.
I wouldn't hang out with the dude. I mean, it would be every once in a while if you're just messing around or whatever. That's different, but it sounds like this is him, like he never turns it off. Like, he's like that all the time.
I don't think
I would just be like, I don't want to hang out with him.
He's still a good dude.
If he's like that all the time, I can see what you're saying.
But in competitive situations, that's where it rears its head, I think, because he's still a really good dude. And but, you know, in the way he goes about it, it's just like he just never wants to lose. And you've heard about this from ping pong or whatever it is, poker to golf to basketball. He just does. That's why I say when you start talking about LeBron passing him up, I'm sure publicly he'll tip of the cap and say the right thing. But I think privately it chaps his butt a little
bit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you and I are competitive. But if you were like that all the time, it would drive me insane. It really would. And because you ever been around somebody that's just like a know-it-all? Like, no matter what the conversation, they're always right. They think they know everything. It's like, I wouldn't want to hang out with somebody like that. Every once in a while, you have to be a little bit humble. Every once in a while, you have to just, you know, agree that maybe somebody else knows something you don't or can do something you can't. Or I don't know. That kind of stuff would just – and I get that the reason he is MJ is because of that.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I couldn't do that. I might play golf with him once or twice.
Oh, no, I loved it. I loved it. And the reason why I loved it was because, especially like in that particular game, I mean, there was a lot of big money going around. Mm-hmm. So I was right from the get-go going, I'm out. Because I'm like, you guys are throwing money that's like more than I make in months.
Right.
And on one single swing. And one of the guys in the group goes, I've played with you before. I'll make you a deal. I'll cover all your losses if you give me half of what you win.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So I remember, and this is one.
How'd you do?
So I ended up. I was way, way up.
Uh huh.
And I literally watched a guy hole a shot from 150 yards out that cost me a whole. I'm sitting there counting it, going all the things I could do.
Really?
And it.
How much was it?
It was.
Say it. Just say it.
It was more than. It was more. It was. Is in the five figure range.
What?
Yeah. So
I bet you just like poo-pooed in your pants.
Oh my God! I felt my testicles hit my socks. I was sitting on the green, 150 yards away, and I watched this ball coming in. Granted, it's a par five. I'm already in for birdie, so I'm thinking that number's going up.
Yeah, because there's no way he.
And this guy for his team, it bounces one time and goes brrr, and I went.
Oh, dude.
It was the emptiest feeling in the world. But earlier in the day, I remember that the guy made the deal, so I was already feeling, you know, like all this. Because otherwise I was thinking, I may swing and miss sometime because of the fact that there's...
Just whiff on the ball because there's so much pressure?
So exactly. So we're on a par five. I'm going for it in two. And Michael's like, little fella, you ain't got a chance in hell of making this on the green. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like,
look at Joe getting like, cocky with MJ.
And I step up.
Did you call him a bitch?
And I hit a three-wood. Really, and it rolled onto the green.
Nice.
And he said, and he was looking at me, shaking his head. And I said something to him like the fact that
suck it.
You didn't know where that was going, but you better know who's hitting it the rest of the day because I'll be on your ass all day long. And he looked at me and he goes, I like that. And we were laughing. And I remember going back to the cart, and Van Chancellor was out there. And he's like, Joel, where did that come from you? And I go,
Chancellor.
Van, I'm going to tell you something right now. The guy made me a deal on the side, and as long as I'm not losing any money in this deal, I'm going for it. And later on in the same mat, there was a guy that owned like five or six businesses, multi-millionaire. Wow. He had a five-foot putt, less than five-foot putt. Michael, because I told you, if you throw the hammer, it doubles the bet. Michael, the guy got behind the ball, and he went, hammer.
Oh,
and we
no.
all looked, and the guy got put the putter behind the ball and went, hammer again, hammer again. By the time Michael was done hammering, his putt went dead left about 14 feet, and we all went, oh, he got him. Oh, and that was like the rest of the day. Michael knew. If Michael knew he could put the pressure on you and put the screws on you and it would get to you, no doubt.
Really?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to watch. It was great to be a bystander without losing it, without any skins in the game. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. But yeah, I mean, he's still he's a good guy. I just the competitive spirit. That's what I'm saying. That's why when there's all this talk about him and LeBron, for just the competitive spirit, the fire to step on your neck, I think Kobe should be in those discussions.
You think so?
Yeah, because he's won five titles. He's won the hardware. But when you look at that killer instinct, I think Kobe's killer instinct was closer to MJ's than anybody I saw in our eras.
Really?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
The killer instinct part. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I mean, because you forget early in his career, LeBron had struggled with, will he take the big shot? Yeah. Remember, because they said he'd pass it. He kept passing to guys. He should have taken it.
A little more passive.
Free throws were always an issue. So I think those little things get you. But I just saw Kobe do too many things where he just stepped up big whenever he needed to.
Is there a guy out there? Because we talk about the greats with killer instinct, like, you know, Kobe and Michael. Is there ever been a player that had the killer instinct but wasn't great for whatever reason? I'm just curious. Like, they couldn't. Is it like a Karl Malone or a Barkley or somebody like that? Because I don't necessarily think Barkley doesn't have the killer instinct. He's competitive, but not to the same level as like a MJ or a Kobe.
I would
Can
say
you
this.
Think of one? Not even in basketball, just in general. We can do it after the
break. Yeah, let's think about it a little bit further, because I'll say this.
It'd be interesting.
That's where
to know.
Your teammates play a role.
Exactly.
Because you may never get on the stage big enough to show that you got what it takes.
Right.
Yeah. So that's an interesting question. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If there's something you want to get to, we're here for you. We're here till 3 o'clock. So 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Thanks for taking us on the go wherever you may be on this Thursday in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio today and tomorrow, FEF Friday time. And so we'll have a comedian of the week for you and all kinds of fun stuff there too. But again, if you're just joining us and you did not hear yesterday, Barry had the great idea after we played the audio of R. Kelly kind of losing his mind with Gayle King on CBS this morning. And if you missed any of that interview, by the way, they're going to play it in its entirety tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Oh, good, because I do want to see the whole thing.
Because there was part two
today.
I think it's on
YouTube also.
Okay, and there was part two today, I
guess. Oh.
But after all of that, you had the ingenious idea to get Trey to recreate R. Kelly in that interview. And so we will have that in the 3 o'clock hour. That'll be fantastic. And speaking of fantastic, because we always like to give back to you guys too, in the 2 o'clock hour, we will give away another pair of tickets to see... Do you want to do it now?
Yay, yay!
Ice Cube next Thursday, March 14th at the House of Blues.
Yeah.
So if you win, you be clubbing.
I'm so pissed that I'm out of town that week.
We are too.
I know.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go to that. Really did. Like, all-time favorite rapper of ever.
Now, we'll have other opportunities.
Yay, yay! See?
Yay,
yay! See, Joel was saying that no one could do the yay, yay good. And I was like, my yay, yay is really good.
It's all right.
My yay, yay game is strong.
Do it again.
Yay, yay!
Yay, yay!
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
When have you ever sold yourself short? Just a question.
I'm also being a little facetious.
I know. That's Barry. I'm going with the bit.
But that's better than apparently. I didn't hear AJ's.
AJ
I wish we could get a copy of AJ's.
The guys.
Did Granato
tried it? I think Lance
Who?
Tried it.
Oh, Lance
I
did.
Think Lance
well,
tried.
I could see Lance. Because
Lance's more of an aficionado,
and he's also really good at impressions. So if anyone was going to do a good yay yay, it would be Lance.
Yay yay!
I want to get AJ's. I want to hear his. It was probably awful.
I think they did it last night.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it was awful. He's not very soulful, AJ. That's not his thing. All right, before the break, I asked the question, who is there an athlete that had the killer instinct but was never considered one of the best? Like, because the one I'm going to mention, you had a couple of good arguments, but the point is, a guy whose killer instinct was on par with MJ and Kobe, but his career and the way his achievements were not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So just to give credit where credit is due before I get to mine, a couple of people had some good ones. Yo Adrian said, what about Big Shot Bob, Robert Horry? And your point about it was immediately to me eliminated him, which was?
Which point? I mean, look.
The fact that he averaged 7 points
a game. Yeah, I mean, he's been on the big stage. And I think he firmly believes anybody that talks to him, he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I just think that Hall of Fame means your body of work
and
in
don't
basketball.
Confuse clutch with killer instinct.
Correct.
Don't
and so confuse that's where the
two. I was just going to say, does he have any killer instinct at all?
Clutch, but not killer instinct. Yeah. You could count on him to knock down a big shot.
Right, but and I guess the easiest way, Barry, maybe to describe the difference that you're talking about is when you're up 20, if you've got the killer instinct, you want to be up 30. The guys that don't but want to be clutch are like, oh, we can take the rest of the night off.
Yeah.
And they just kind of –
James Harden.
They give up the reins.
Huh?
So, yeah. I don't know who you're talking about
there. Buddy said, what about Russell Westbrook as a guy with killer instinct but hasn't not the same achievements? That's a good one.
Right now I would say that's very accurate.
Yeah, I like that one. From the text line, a couple people checked in. Somebody said, I think Bird did have the killer instinct, but Magic was – but Bird is up there. I put Bird on the same pedestal as guys like Jordan and Kobe.
Absolutely, I do too.
Westbrook is going to be there, though. He's going to eventually get
there. But he's not right now. That's why I think it's a good one because
– Could it be former players or does it have to be
current?
Yeah,
no, former and current.
Here's the other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, but here's the other thing on Westbrook. What deters from him is he's not the shooter that the other guys we're talking about were or are. So when he wants the killer instinct, it has to be driving to the basket and finishing. Because if you look and Rockets fans made fun of him, whenever there's a killer instinct play where Russell's going to step up and shoot the three to win the game, he either airballs it or it's not even close.
Yeah, he's not clutch.
No.
But he's got the killer instinct.
Right.
Somebody texted him and gave three. I'm only going to read one. Kevin Garnett. I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't either.
My answer was Gary Payton. Gary Payton, to me, had the killer instinct. He would talk that trash. He would go at you. But he was never elevated to the level of the other guys. I mean, you said, hey, top 50 player of all time. He won one. But he was never – no one ever mentions him amongst the other guys. But I felt like he had that killer instinct just like they did. So that was mine. Right or wrong. That's what
I'm here's the other thing. I go back to what we were talking about with MJ and you were talking about is he an A. I think in order to have the killer instinct, you got to have a little a-hole in you.
Yes.
And so for that reason alone, I would say you're right about Gary Payton because you're right. There's a guy that would go toe-to-toe with MJ and talk the smack right back and doesn't matter if you crossed that line and went below the belt. They were going toe-to-toe, tongue-to-tongue, just like going at each other. Now, did he have the jumper and the offensive prowess as MJ? No. But would he get it done? Absolutely.
There's some good ones coming in.
Is Penny Hardaway one of them?
No.
He was kind of soft.
One of the all-time nice guys, but I think it parlayed onto the
court. That's why I didn't want to include him initially is because you said a guy with killer instinct probably should have a little a-hole in him, and Penny Hardaway doesn't seem like an a-hole.
That'd be why you wouldn't say Grant Hill.
But he was good the first five.
Health be damned, Grant Hill was too nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Wes said, what about Patrick Beverley?
He's got a killer instinct in him, absolutely.
He really does. He might be the underdog on the list.
Yeah.
I thought this was a good one from football because we've mentioned all basketball players, but from football, somebody said Jim Kelly.
It's a good one.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, because you and I were kicking it around and I said, well, I said Barry Sanders because he quit the game too soon. He always played on crap teams, but we just don't know because he was never in a big enough situation to say, you know, you need a big play or you need four yards right here, but I would bet on him getting the yards. Dan Marino, another one who got to the Super Bowl his rookie year and then never tasted that stage again. So I don't know if that counts or not.
Reggie Miller, that's on the list. Somebody texted in Reggie Miller.
He's pretty good. I would say with what he did
to
the Knicks.
He might be better than Peyton as a choice.
I would say that's...
Because that's a guy... The whole point of the question was, is there a guy out there that just never had the support, that never had the teams around him to elevate him to that level, but by himself stood out as a guy you didn't want to play. He would talk mess. He would hit that dagger.
The more I think
Reggie
about
Miller
it,
might be
because
the guy.
You just made the point that I was going to make going to break. Absolutely right. There's only so much that one individual can do in a team sport.
Yeah.
So you have to rely on others who might not have had the makeup that you did. And I just go back, and the minute you said the name, and I'm thinking about...
There's maybe no one better.
The Knicks game with all the times that he did the choke sign to Spike Lee and the 12-point... He didn't do that. He did like the T-Mac, but he did it on a bigger stage. He didn't do it in a regular season game. He did, 9 points and... 17, whatever he did in a short amount of time against the Knicks, and you're like, yeah, I think Reggie Miller might be the all-time.
Yeah, when the second best player on your team was Rick Smits,
yeah,
and you're still getting that far.
Or dead left
and,
shrimp.
And you're getting that far and holding your own against teams like that. I'm with you. Whoever texted that, and we got a lot of texts following up with that, but I think that might be the leader of the clubhouse.
I'm with you. I think Reggie that's a great call.
Yeah. Yep.
I think, you know what, because I was thinking of Randy Johnson.
Ooh.
You know, because Randy Johnson had a little a-hole
that's
in him.
That's a good one.
He was feisty as all get out. You knew that, you know, he was ready to fight it whatever at a minute's notice and whatever. He won one World Series, but overall he was with the Expos and the Mariners.
When you talk about the greatest in the game, though, I don't know. I mean, strikeout-wise, but he just never seems to get mentioned.
Yeah.
Maybe he should, maybe he shouldn't, but that's not bad from a baseball perspective.
That's what I was going to throw out there.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think right now, though, leader in the clubhouse amongst all the sports, Reggie Miller.
Agreed. All right, so there you go. Hey, just like that, guys, 1 hour in the book, still 2 hours to go in the big show, so still plenty of time for you guys to chime in and plenty of stuff to get to. HR&P listener line is wide open, 713-780-3776, where you can call and text. You can also hit us up via Twitter, and we'll be right back with hour number two of the big show right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.